Welcome everybody. I'm Richard from VegGrow Podcast and this is episode 166. It is the 30th of April 2018 and this week's title is Chutneys. So coming up today, I have the diary as usual where I'll be discussing what I've done in the plots over this last week. Following on from that, I have what the calendar recommends to do for this next week. And then after that, I've got a little talk about chutneys. And this I am covering purely because my brother-in-law texted me saying that he had passed on the VegGrow podcast to a colleague. And she had asked if we could just do a little talk about chutneys. And I'll admit, I like cooking chutneys. I enjoy a nice chutney, so why not? But before that, let's get on and discuss the diary. Now this week, I'm going to start well back to last Monday. And after I'd finished, basically uploaded the show, got it all out and released, I was just sat back in my chair, just there, contemplating, and I could hear something in the garden. I was worried it might have been a fox, if I'm honest, at first. So armed with my torch, I started scanning to see what I could hear. Well, I traced the noise down to a little area we call a potager, which is where we have a lot of raspberries and elders and things like that growing. Also a lot of wild garlic has kind of taken over there. But I could hear the noise coming from there, so I shone the torch out there and out popped a hedgehog. And I was chuffed to pieces to see the hedgehog. Now, I had seen signs that the hedgehogs were around. I know they took up residence in my greenhouse over winter. But I always worry, are they going to get through the winter? Obviously, seeing the signs of them moving around, I knew they had. But to actually see it, it was a real treat. It really cheered me up. Tuesday after work, with the evenings being so much lighter, And it was quite warm last week as well. I managed to sow a few more seeds in the potting shed. Now the seed sowing, I'm actually struggling to work out what I need to sow now because most of the things, apart from brassicas and beans and peas, are sown. Although things that need successional seeds, obviously lettuce and herbs and things like that, they'll be continuing to sow as well. But the seed sowing is pretty much on top of. But anyway, this week I did sow. I sowed some basil, red-leaved and green-leaved variety, just to add a bit of a difference. Some cauliflower, a variety called Romanesco, slightly different than normal. Some summer squash, a Riletto was a variety. Some pak choi and some borage. Borage, sorry. One of those words I can never quite pronounce. I also started soaking some tiger nut seeds, and they were actually sown today after being soaking for a few days. We'll see how all these seeds get on in the future. Wednesday, now I popped to the allotment after work just to dump off more manure. And while I was doing it, a neighbour happened to say that he had heard the plot inspections were happening the next day. And this kind of got the willies up me, to be honest. So I spent a few hours weeding. The weather was nice, so it was kind of nice doing that. And I can say I haven't heard anything since. So I think mine passed. If it did happen, this guy has a tendency to exaggerate the truth sometimes. Then Thursday evening, and again, I dropped more manure off at the allotment. And then carried out a bit more weeding, just while I was there. But that day the wind had actually picked up and it blew one of my cloches off from that I had placed over the onions. Now it hadn't actually blown that far away and was kind of caught by the fence along the perimeter. So it was easy to find and pop back into place. But this time I've put the canes really far down. So hopefully they won't blow off again. Now I did notice that the wind had snapped a couple of my asparagus stalks and they were just lying on the ground, so I picked them up and took them home and ate them. They're not going to go to waste after all. And actually, asparagus is time to start harvesting. It's looking really good, so it was nice. Saturday morning, I spent a few hours in the greenhouse, and I planted out a couple of red cherry tomatoes into the bed of the greenhouse. Just two plants for now. And the rest of these red cherries I've now put into plastic pots to grow on with multi-purpose compost. I've had to buy in for once and produced enough compost for this. I also potted on some of my chilli plants, the Scotch bonnet chilies, and I was hoping to get those into the cold frame, but I did look at the weather and saw it was going to drop in temperature at the beginning of this week. I mean, today I got 5°C, which is kind of cold for tomatoes. So I left them in the greenhouse, but towards the end of the week they'll go into the cold frame and start hardening off. But between now and then, I have got a huge amount of plants I really need potting on and get hardening off, so it's going to be a busy week doing that. Sunday I did plan to go down the allotment, but I was absolutely knackered in the morning. I didn't wake up till late. Admittedly, Saturday, after almost work in the garden, I was busy doing many other things. When I finally got up, my brother, who had stayed with me the night before, he had a project he wanted to help me with, or he wanted my help with some woodwork. So I got on and helped him do that. And while we were doing it, I was just tidying up the garden at the same time. Then after we had done it, because I really did not want to waste the day, I wanted to get some gardening in at least. So I went to my vegetable truck that my father built many years ago. And I have this in the patio area, and I normally just grow some salad leaves and things in it. Well, I've decided this year I'm going to test out square foot gardening in this. Now, square foot gardening is a method of maximising small spaces to grow lots of crops. And I've looked into this many years ago in my old house, when I had a very small garden, very small area to grow stuff in. And I'd done a lot of research and I was about to do it, and then I got offered an allotment, so I never really went further into it. But earlier in this year, I probably mentioned this on the podcast, I'm sure I did, my cousin who lives in Vancouver Island, Canada, she contacted me. She's got a small allotment there, and she was looking into square foot gardening. And I kind of just thought, you know, I'm going to try it and see how it works and see what I think of it. Again, it's a method of garden for maximising small space for maximum crops, so it's got to be worth a shot. Now, my plan with this is, again, it's more salad-y stuff. My home plot is kind of stuff that I can go out and pick and eat that day. It's not really long-term crops. And this truck, the internal measurements, it was 1 meter long and 60 centimeters wide. Now, if I was doing square feet in all of them, that would obviously give me 6 square feet and 2 tiny little patches on the end. So, slight variation in the terms of being honest, I've decided to have 4 square feet and then 2 that are just a smidge larger than square foot. Not going to make a huge amount of difference, but as I say, I like to be honest with these sort of things. Now, when I've researched square foot gardening, it allows you to grow so many plants in each square foot. And then I had some lettuces that didn't need planted out. So in 2 of these squares, I have planted out 8 plants, and that's 4 in each square. And then into one of the larger squares, I've just sown a load of radish seeds. I didn't count them, I just sprinkled them over the square. Radish are quite small, so I think we'll be okay with that. And that's only really used up 3 squares. That leaves me another 3 squares to decide what to do. So I've got some spring onions. They'll probably go into one. They're in the potting shed at the moment. Once they get to the point I can plant them out, I'll plant them out into there. I might do spinach and stuff as well, but I've got to look into how many I can put into each one. And it'll be interesting to see how this all works. Let's say it is a kind of an experiment, but I'm kind of excited and interested at the same time with this. Now, if any of you ever tried Square for Gardening and you've got on with it, please send me an email at richard@thevegrowerpodcast.co.uk or visit the blog post at thevegrowerpodcast.co.uk and leave a comment just to give me a bit of advice on how you found this and what have you. I'd be really interested to find out because I do believe this would be a method for many people who have small gardens. Now, the quail and chicken are still around and doing their thing. I haven't really mentioned them much lately. But what I've been noticing, it's actually quite amusing as well. When I let the chickens roam around the vegetable patch and I'm picking any weeds such as dandelions or even the wild garlic we've had creep in, I tend to throw it just on the ground for the chickens and they jump on it and they'll eat it. As I've been doing this, and since obviously moving the quails outside, I've noticed the quails are kind of looking excited, and they're all are quite keen to get their beaks around some of these weeds. So I've been throwing them in there as well, but it's really interesting to see how they react to these things. What is also quite interesting, if I throw some dandelions, they go mad for, but if I throw them into the quail aviary, the male, if the girls don't get to it first, the male will pick bits off and give it to the girls. I've got to say, these quails are really, really cool. They're really fascinating. So that is the diary up to date. Let's see what the calendar has to say for this week. It reads, many annuals and unusual ground cover plants and nasturtiums, zinnias, cosmos, convolvulus can be sown in their flowering positions in prepared beds now. Try planting drifts of dwarf nasturtium under ornamental trees or on bare ground. They will quickly provide a welcome blaze of summer colour. Yeah, I have to say, as April ends and May begins, the seed sowing time is well underway. And of course, if you haven't got indoor space like I do, outdoors is, it's getting to the time that it's perfectly fine to sow them. Right, before we talk about chutneys, I just want to let you all know that I'll be joining Bald Explorer again next Wednesday on his live show. We'll be cooking some more homegrown food live on his show. It'll be about 8 p.m. British time on the 9th of May 2018. I'll be rhubarb and asparagus is not I'm hoping to use because they're available at the moment. And last time it was such a fantastic response. His listeners, they all joined in. They really interested in what we do here at the Veggie Grow Podcast. And I was lucky enough to meet some of his group over the weekend. And they were asking questions and how do I do this and that and. Really are looking at growing more food in their gardens, which is great because that's what I'm chuffed to pieces to get people interested in growing more food. And this is it's a vegetable gardening podcast, despite the quail and chickens. People who generally find the podcast are already in that frame of mind, and by going down this route and finding it's getting other people who normally aren't looking into this interested in this. So yeah, if you can come along, please do answer some of the questions that I may not be able to get to. I really appreciate it. And also we'll build it up and it's really cool. And also it's a good laugh. So we got that out the way. Let's take a look at chutneys. Now I absolutely love chutneys. I not only find them a fantastic way to preserve homegrown food, they just taste great, don't they? Just that mix of vinegar, sugar, spice, fruit and vegetables, just delicious condiment. Now, chutneys originated from India, where they probably used fruit like mangoes and tamarind and things like that. And when they were brought to British shores, our chefs kind of adapted to what we had growing here. So it would be apples and damsons and things like that. And this has really resulted in a really good love affair. I mean, they're pretty much every chutney. You put it in a cheese sandwich, it takes it onto another level. And a search online will come up with hundreds and hundreds of different recipes. For this podcast, I've going to use a couple of recipes that I have on my website. And I will admit, I need to write up more recipes and stuff on there. But I will add links to these recipes on there. On this blog post, there will be the links anyway for these recipes. So it's not a memory test, but I'm just going to talk my way through how I make them. And I'm going to start with my rhubarb chutney, because it won't be long until I'm making that. And this is actually a really delicious way, especially to use rhubarb, which you don't really think of going in a chutney. Now, because it is a preserve, I tend to make it up in fairly large batches and store it in clean jam jars until used. And this recipe produces about 4 standard jam jars, so 2 pound jars, although I can't remember, you know, the type I'm talking about. And what I normally do is I give them a good clean in the dishwasher before I use them, and then I'll rinse them in hot water, then pop them in the oven on about gas mark 3 to sterilise the jam jars while I am cooking. And of course, all the equipment and stuff needs to be clean before we use it. So I would take 900 grams of rhubarb, 900 grams of sugar, 450 grams of sultanas, 250 ml of vinegar, and I use apple cider vinegar for this, teaspoon of salt, a teaspoon of ground ginger, 1 onion finely chopped, a teaspoon of chili powder, and half a teaspoon of pepper. Of course, the seasoning you can adapt to your own tastes. And I basically chop up all the rhubarb and the sultanas and pop them into a pan with all the other ingredients. Oh, well, chop up the onion, of course, as well. The pan I actually use is a muslin pan, which is a preserving pan. It basically, you have a handle that you can, from above, a handle on the top and like a pouring nozzle on the side, as well as it being a decent pan. I've actually added a link on the blog post for this from Amazon, if you want to get one. They're about £30, and I do recommend them. You can, of course, use a standard pan, but I do like find these easier to use, really. Anyway, with all the ingredients into the pan, I bring it up to a pour, and then and bring it up to a boil, and then I'll reduce the heat down to a simmer. Then I'll just leave it to cook for about 2 hours, and just every now and then just give it a stir. And what you can tell when a chutney is ready is when you pull a spoon through the mixture, the mixture doesn't straight away rush to fill the void. You kind of pull it across the bottom and you can see the bottom of the pan for a second or two before all the ingredients fall back. And that's how you know it's ready. And then when it's that, I take the jars out of the oven, fill them up with the mixture, and apply lids. I've actually boiled the lids already. And then I leave it to cool. And then I store cool, somewhere cool, dry and dark. And you want to leave it at least a month for the flavours what's the word? Marinade. But it is worth it. And they'll keep for about a year. What I actually really like doing with this particular one is on cheese on toast. So I'd get some toast, put some of this chutney on it, cover it in cheese and under the grill, and it is delicious. Now, my apple chutney recipe is another one of... I make this every year. But it's very popular with others because I give it away as Christmas presents as well. And it's a great way to use apples from the tree. Now, I take 1.2 kilograms of peeled and cored apples. That's the weight after peeling and coring. Two onions, 50 grams of sultanas, and I chop them up. Nothing fancy. I just give it a good chop so they bite. And then I place those into a slow cooker with 750 ml of cider vinegar, 750 grams of light muscovado sugar, 2 teaspoons of mustard seeds, 2 teaspoons of ground ginger, 2 teaspoons of cinnamon powder. Optional, but I like it. Now, all the ingredients are in a slow cooker. You need a large slow cooker for this, which I do have. You can, of course, do it on a hob as well, but I just find a slow cooker works better for me. Give it a good start, and I'll turn the heat on the slow cooker up to high. Then once the ingredients start to bubble, I'll take the lid off and then just leave it to gently bubble. You can sometimes I might knock it down to the lower heat setting just to see how it does. And this one can take about 8 hours. But I find that you can do it in 2 hours like the rhubarb chutney, but I find the 8 hours just gets a bit more flavour out of it. And again, you draw the spoon through and you can see the bottom for a second or two. The mixture is ready. Spoon it into sterilised jam jars with vinegar-proof lids, seal and leave to cool. And again, these will keep for up to a year. Now, I do have some very good books that I've used over the years to develop my chutneys. One I have in front of me is Easy Jams, Chutneys and Preserves by Val and John Harrison, who run allotment.org. That's a very good book and very good for a few recipes. Another book I have is How to Make Jams, Pickles and Preserve by Cyril Grange. Also, well worth a read. And again, it's worth experimenting with chutneys. I love them. I absolutely love them. And I'm always experimenting with different recipes. Now, I'll be doing... I'm going to make an effort to try and get more recipes online, including lots of chutneys. I'm always hesitant with recipes because I don't want to take credit. If we look at what a recipe is, you know, there's so, no matter how different everyone makes their recipes, they're all a similar sort of thing, really. And I don't like to take credit for anyone else's work or get into trouble for that. So I'm always I'll adapt someone's recipe to my own choice. And I will then credit the original recipe and just tell you how I've adapted it. Of course, if anybody has any recipes and stuff, please send them to me and I'll share them. And if anybody else wants to know anything else about chutneys or any questions and stuff like that, please get in touch and I will answer them. I could talk for hours on chutneys, if I'm honest, but I like to keep things simple, as you know. And I think these two are probably the simplest chutney recipes that are well worth it. So I'm going to wrap up now. Thank you very much for listening. Please take care. And if I've added links to the various, the muslin pan and the the books that I've mentioned to Amazon. I know some of you have been shopping on Amazon for the links. Great, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. The affiliate links, it earns me not a huge amount of money, but I'm always grateful for anything you do because it gets reinvested back into the Veg Grail podcast for things like the competitions and stuff. I know back in February somebody brought two of the boot clamps that I recommended, and fantastic. I hope you got on really well with them. I think they're great. But for now, I'm going to wrap up. Please take care. We'll speak to you all again.